Please enjoy this ringback tone while your podcast is reached.
This is Raquel and Chelsea, and you're listening to Baroque Bitches.
Welcome to Baroque Bitches.
Bitches!
Your art, history, gossip podcast. I'm Chelsea.
I'm Raquel.
And we're going to get the down and dirty tea on this highbrow art. This is going to be an absolutely iconic one
today. Yes.
Yes. The most famous artist of all time.
You can pick your own way.
But before we get into it, any fun little tidbits from the week?
Oh, so I'm laughing because Diego's like obsessed with Fleetwood Mac right now. So I'm like, you can Van Gogh your own way.
No.
He was so funny. We're like on our way to a follow-up autism appointment, and they were like in the car on the way there, and he like asked for Ruby Soho by Rancid, so I put it on, and then it plays a random playlist after that, and one of the songs that comes up is Sabotage by Beastie Boys. Okay. And I hear Diego go, "Ah, Beastie Boys, just what I needed."
Oh my god, that is hella funny, dude.
Dude, he's so cool.
He's the best music taste out of all of his friends.
Dude, he's already way cooler than I'll ever be, but he's got a head start for sure.
What are kids like the Wiggles and stuff? Like, he's probably like, what the fuck are you listening to, dude?
Oh, you like Cocomelon? That's cute. I like
fucking Rancid.
I like the Misfits and Rancid.
Dude, ahead of his time.
Dude,
Hell yeah.
Well, he'll still throw in like his super simple songs, you know, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Okay, the classic.
But it's just for his sister, right?
Oh, yeah.
She's not
cool yet. She'll get cool soon.
No, he has no... The thing I love about him so much is he has no regard for what people think of him. So it's just a constant like, oh... I don't want to do that. No, fuck you. Like, I'm not going to do that. He doesn't say fuck you, but
bit of that.
Oh my God. He's so awesome. Like, we went to go to the library a few weeks ago with a friend of ours to go see the Easter Bunny. Oh. And I'm just thinking, like, I know how this is going to go. Like, he's not going to want to do it. And that's fine. Like,
I wouldn't want to do it. It's fucking weird.
No. The Easter. Okay. Parents out there, the Easter Bunny is the scariest fucking big, what do they even call the character?
Furry. Mascot.
But you know, like it's like, we're in the era. This is my parenting tip for the week. Don't make your kids sit on strangers' laps who you don't know.
Oh, we're done with that. We're done with that.
That's especially over. If, like, they don't want to. I mean,
you have to sit on this man.
Oh, my God. I just see so many pictures of kids crying. Scream. Like, don't get me off the bunny's lap. And I'm like, this is
torture.
Like torture, scarring in the works.
It's kind of, I feel like it is too, a little bit like, is this how furries get started? They saw the Easter Bunny and something happened to them.
So,
something happened
there. TLC used to have, I think it was TLC, had this show called Weird Sex.
Yes.
And there was an episode on Lunars. Do you know what a Lunar is?
Oh, the balloon people.
Yeah. So apparently, Baroque BBs, 1 in 20 people is a lunar, which is where you get off like on 1 in 20
low.
I feel like that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. Okay. 1 in just 20. I would think like 1 in 1,000 is into balloons sexually.
Right? No, apparently like 1 in 20 people.
Okay.
So if you're in a classroom, guaranteed lunar in there with you. Well, and okay, these stats might be outdated because this is
like, no, we do not kink shame to no shame.
No, no kink shame.
If you happen to be a lunar, tell us your story.
Oh my God, come on the pod. We need to know about it.
Oh my God. We do the Jeff Koons episode.
Oh my God, that'd be lunar. Perfect. Holy perfect. Shit. Perfect.
Do you feel something else? We need a lunar.
Wait, then are you a lunar?
Jeff Koons is a lunar.
Jeff Koons is probably a lunar.
Totally lunar. Totally lunar.
Oh, God. But yeah, I remember this guy. I felt so bad for him because he was like ashamed of being a lunar.
Yeah.
And but then he finds his lunar community through the episode. Okay. And like a woman comes up to him and is like, oh, so like what part of the balloon do you like? And he's like, yeah, this part or whatever. Like, you know, the nubby part.
Well, I'm so glad he's found his case. They're not hurting anybody.
Oh my God. It's like, thank God. Everybody just, there's somebody for everybody, right? Yeah. But yeah, and I remember telling this to somebody I worked with at Chuck E. Cheese, one of the girls there. And I was telling her about lunars because I had like just seen the episode or something. Of course, I'm talking about it at work.
At a kid's place, at a kid's restaurant.
And the girl looks at me and she goes, oh my God, my cousin's a lunar. And I'm like, oh
wow,
my God. Okay. I'm like, oh my God, like I didn't know what to say. And she's like, oh my God, that explains so much. That's why he always has balloons in his room. We're always wondering why he has balloons in his room.
Well, yeah.
And she's like,
what was his excuse? It's my decor.
I don't know. Maybe he just really likes birthday parties. I don't know. Yeah, how do you hide that?
A ton of parties.
What's your lunar beard? You know, the thing that you hide.
I don't know. Why? I'm just like, listen. It's my thing to always grab the balloons at a party, and I just go to a ton of parties all the time.
It's just my thing. I really like playing keepy uppy. I'm pretending I'm in a human adult sized ball pit. I don't know. What do you?
What's I like the that excuse? Idea though. An adult size 1 in 20 pit. 1 in 20, but lunars out 20. There. Wow. So there's probably some lunars listening to us now. So tell us your story.
Hi guys.
Hey. No shame.
No shame.
Is it like the I remember the lunar episode where it's like some people don't want them to pop, but then others really like the pop.
Yeah.
Because there was one where the balloons were more like deflated. Those floaty thing, yeah, the floaty things in the pool, and he had like a bunch of animals, like he had like a whale and a dolphin and like a little sea monster guy, and and he was like in love with them, and they were like all of his like boyfriends and girlfriends, and then there was another lunar I think that was like I just want it to pop. I want
to
sit on
there's it a vast pops. Variety it's just so crazy to me how many people get off on such different things. Like
I kind of wish I had a little bit of a like a better kink, you know, like a like an interesting one. Like I'm really
that
into.
Is more interesting.
Yeah.
And then you write like I'm sure nowadays people need to get really creative with their college essays, so maybe you write about that. Here's my story.
That's for your grant. Who knows? I mean, some of these people writing grants are weird rich people. Like, I mean,
I'm saying these people, we need to, you know, elevate.
So, yeah, no, I'm pretty sure we got to do Jeff Koons, the lunar.
Oh my God, please. Find a lunar to come on and appreciate Jeff Koons with us? And also, how does the lunar community feel about Jeff Koons? God, I'm going to go on Reddit with that tonight. Wow.
Yes. How does the lunar community feel about Jeff Koons?
I need to know.
Is it like tempting to touch it? Like, do you have to have lunars touched and gotten kicked out? The dog. Like
there are people that probably have self-control, but...
Yeah, but they have, it's so huge and sexy.
I mean, I want to touch that thing,
too. Oh, for sure.
That's like, always... the biggest
is to touch the art. I know that Angela, we had Angela on for a Gauguin episode, so she's fun. I know that Angela always tries to touch the art. She's like, I always try to like get just
touch it a little bit. Richard Serra has a piece at SF MoMA, and sometimes they cover it up and sometimes they take it out, but it's called Lead. And he just was like throwing lead into the corner and then had the corner pieces brought forward. And but anyways, when you go to look at it, there's always a bunch of little lead pieces that break off. Nobody's gonna miss it, right? Yeah. But no, don't touch the art or take it. That's probably rule number one.
Probably don't unless take advice. Nobody, on to touch the
yeah, unless nobody sees you,
then just a little pinky. Don't get all of your finger oils on it. But like,
This is yeah. But yeah, I'm excited about this one today.
Oh yeah, these are ones you want to touch for sure, but you won't.
You won't. Oh my God, you really? That's so true. I would love. Love to touch a Van Gogh.
Yes.
But Van don't.
Van don't. Yeah, you'll get in trouble. All right. So let's get into it. Are we ready to visualize?
Yeah.
Okay. Visualize. Let's go. All right. Welcome to Goupil et Compagnie Gallery. How may I help? Yes, we do sell works from the revolutionary artists of the Impressionist movement. You must be interested in the avant-garde. How sophisticated you are. Ah, looking for Monet? Bien sûr, of course we sell Monet paintings. I have many in the collection. He's a very prolific and philosophical artist. You certainly have fine taste in art. Oh, you're interested in that painting? Well, that is called The Red Vineyard by Vincent van Gogh, who happens to be my very talented and very eccentric older brother. Are you familiar with his work? Ooh la la, you know Eugene? You're his sister? Oh, we're like family. Vincent writes to me about his love of your brother often. He is a very generous and kind friend to my often outlandish brother. Yes, this painting was actually featured in an exhibition. However, my brother's signature style has not yet been well received. As you know, we're not French, we're Dutch, and Vincent cannot let go of the dark color palette left behind by Rembrandt. And now he's looking to the East for inspiration, as your cultured eye might be able to recognize in the Red Vineyard. Are you interested in purchasing? Do you like it? Of course I can give you a discount since we are like family, as long as you give Eugene a friendly bonjour from me, Vincent's brother, Theo. Which brings us to our gossip topic, Vincent van Gogh. Can you hear me now?
Oh, fuck.
I'm sorry, guys. I could not resist.
You had to. Your joke. Oh, my God.
Yes. Yes. Dude. If we have to talk about Vincent, we also have to talk about his brother, Theo, who
basically of course.
Let him survive.
Yeah, that's so, like the theme, right? Keeping him alive.
Yeah, keeping him alive, Theo. Thank you, Theo.
Thank you, Theo.
But yeah, we are talking about this guy today, Vincent van Gogh. The Dutch are really big on you got to do the at the end. So any of our Netherlands, did I say it right? Netherlands fans.
Dutch is like such a crazy language. And apparently I am Dutch. And when I went to Amsterdam, smoke weed, you know, do the whole college thing. A bunch of people kept coming up to me and speaking Dutch.
Oh.
Because I look Dutch, you know, and I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? Like
sorry.
It sounds like a mixture of like French and Farsi. Like, it's just the craziest, coolest language.
Yeah. But it's yeah. hard.
Yeah, but it's hard.
So Van I mean, Gogh. I can putz around Spanish a little bit, but like, I'm nope. a lot of vowels right next to each other, man.
But Van Gogh, okay. Van Gogh.
Yes, the most famous artist in the world. And you might know a little bit about this guy. This is usually mm-hmm. the first artist that you fell in love with. Yeah. Or might just not get what all the hype is about over this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. So you probably had a poster of Starry Night or Sunflowers up in your room in high school or your dorm room.
Or knew
in
somebody
college.
That did. Yeah. Or your mom's yeah. friend. You yeah. know, in the 90s.
And the, somewhere in the bathroom or something. Yeah. To show others that you're so indie. I'm not hating. I did have the Cafe Terrace at Night up in my dorm room, along with an Endless Summer poster. Because if you are, I'm sorry, if you are a millennial or Gen X too, why we all wanted to be surfers at some point?
I don't know.
No, we all wanted to wear puka shells and like.
For me, it was that that movie Blue Crush.
Blue Crush. Yes, we all wanted to be her. God. And yeah. if you do actually surf, you're amazing. I tried it once. It hurts. Never again. It hurts. That whole wiping out stuff. It's so painful.
I like surfing.
It's too hard. It's too hard. I just dip my feet in. I'm fine with that. So if you do surf, you're fucking amazing. Oh my God. Anyway, we're going back to French Impressionism, the time in art where artists were figuring out what art is. Yeah. And if you are one of those people that are trying to figure out what the hype around this era is in art, we totally got you. So
stick around.
Yeah. Yeah. We get why it can be kind of confusing. You're in a museum, like looking at fucking Rubens and shit and being all right. amazed by the skills of the artists of the Renaissance to create an illusion of reality. And then you get to this other section where the paintings don't really look like the subject matter and it's all chunky and it just seems like everyone's kind of drunk. Yeah. So, which is kind of true. So before we get into our boy, let me tell you a little bit about this time period and why Impressionism is a big deal to the development yeah. of art as we know it, basically. These guys like started what art is for us.
Yeah,
now.
Totally. Yeah. The advocate, the original.
The original, the OGs of the art world. Okay, so we'd be dealing with France in the mid to late 1800s into mm-hmm, the 20th mm-hmm, century mm-hmm. with Van Gogh. there's a lot going on in society at this time. We got the French Revolution, the Industrial Revolution, Napoleon III making Paris fucking beautiful so he doesn't get his head chopped off. Right. And he's also done some pretty dumb war stuff with the Franco-Prussian War, getting blah, a full blah, blah. Blast. Blah, blah, blah. War, 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 war,
blah, 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 war, 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 boom, boom, boom.
We've also got a huge influx in prostitution in Paris. So our favorite subject, syphilis.
Sex work is work.
However, syphilis was appearing in households nasty. Across Ooh. France, making things really shitty for everyone. So, yikes. So society is going through a lot, but there's also huge innovations during this time. We have the introduction of photography.
Nice.
The thing that was supposed to kill painting. Mm. Yeah, photography was the AI art of the 1800s.
Right.
So why paint when we have this machine to do it?
Right.
Yeah, photography did not kill painting, and neither will AI, so don't worry.
Yeah, we got it.
We still like painting. We also have the introduction of tubed paint that you can just buy from a store. So artists no longer needed to be in the workshop with hella apprentices making paint for them.
So they can use more.
Yeah, they can use a lot more paint. So no wonder why the Impressionists used so much colorful paint. They were just like really stoked about this new invention.
Here. We got it.
We got
YOLO.
Just cobalt blue just out of a tube, bitch.
Chunk it up. Let's make it hella chunky.
Yeah. And they were able to work independently rather than having a workshop of people to help them make paint.
Get off my
as they
ass.
Go.
I just want to paint my.
I just want to paint. I want to go outside. This is the introduction of painting outside, plein air painting. So it's totally rare that this was huge during this time. Science is getting better too with the introduction of Einstein's atomic theory, you know, little atoms making up fucking everything. So little brushstrokes making up an image, little atoms making up everything, you kind of connections. France is also bringing in trade from more countries, including Japan. And we will get into how Japan influences the French Impressionists soon. They're the first anime kids, the OG anime kids. And on top of everything, everybody's just fucking wasted. Absinthe is the drink of choice for the Frenchies, and too much of that stuff will give you hallucinations. And soon you'll feel like you're in a Van Gogh painting. So, yes. So let's return to the man, Vincent van Gogh, ASL, age, sex, location. Vincent Wilhelm van Gogh was born March 30th, 1853. So he just had his 171st birthday a couple days ago.
Oh, happy birthday, Vinny.
And of course, he is a fiery Aries.
Ooh,
yes.
Watch out.
Watch out for these guys because they're confident, passionate, competitive, and courageous. Mm-hmm. But they can also be impatient, impulsive, and aggressive. So you'll see soon why these traits suit our Vinny perfectly.
Yes.
Yeah. So he was born in the town of Groot Zondert, Netherlands, to a middle, an upper middle class Protestant family. Mm-hmm. So mommy,
Mom
was Anna Cornelia Carbentus, who introduced Vincent to art. Yeah. Oh, she's an artist.
Nice.
Protestant artist. She liked drawing flowers and plants and also made some watercolors. So she actually came from a somewhat wealthy family. Her dad was the bookbinder for the king.
Dope-ass job.
Apparently bookbinding was a big deal in the 19th century because more people could actually read. Yay!
Right.
We're learning. And giving the bookbinders a lot of work to do. So bookbinding was a big deal back then, and you were making bank if you were a bookbinder, especially a fancy one.
Bookbinding's hard. I remember we had to bookbind in Art 101. I just didn't do it. Duct tape, and let me tell you, it did not go over well.
Yeah, I'm like, this is my style.
I don't know what she wanted us to do. Derelict. Like, go out.
I did like a little box as my book, so I totally got out of the whole.
You didn't have to bind it. I don't think anybody bound it.
Yeah,
you want a book? You want us to learn how to do like a fucking 19th century skill.
Can you fill us in on how to do that? Silly. But I think it was like, be creative, figure it out.
But
like,
don't use duct tape.
We don't have YouTube tutorials back then, so like, we don't know how to do it. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
But I guess don't use duct tape,
She never said don't use duct tape.
Your aesthetic. It's my aesthetic, so you don't get it.
Sorry. Too punk rock for art class.
But yeah, Van Gogh's mom's dad was really good at it. So go you.
Nice.
Anna was Vincent's mom was a mother to six children, Vincent being the oldest. And it's said that she was a loving and caring mother who introduced her kids to a love of nature.
Aww.
Yeah, foreshadowing for someone. Daddy. Who's dad?
Daddy
was Reverend Theodorus van Gogh. And he was a pastor of the Dutch Reformed Church.
Nice.
So this is fun. It has been written several fucking times that dad was a total fucking hottie. He was a hot pastor. So his ministry was popping. Like, nobody's missing that sermon.
Because all the ladies wanted to do it with dad.
Dude, he's just like, there's several accounts saying how handsome he was.
Damn.
Okay.
Okay. What up, Theo?
Yes, yes. So, and Dad's brother was an art dealer. So foreshadowing.
This is going to come easily.
Yes.
This makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, lots of art stuff going on in this fam. But Dad wasn't as loving and accepting of our little Vinny as I'm going to call him Vinny.
Yeah, obviously.
As mom was. And they had a tense relationship, mostly due to a very scandalous situation that our Vinny got himself involved with.
Oh, no. What happened already?
That caused a rift in the family. So I will get to that tea soon. It is juicy and weird.
I need to know.
It's going to be so good. And let's see. And here's the kicker. This is another situation where our Vinny was actually the name of a stillborn older brother.
No, ooh, another one?
Weird.
What the fuck? Back to back.
Yeah, so he was born-ish exactly 1 year before Vincent. Ugh. And so this last Vincent was born a year before our current Vinny that we're talking about. So that's weird. But I guess Vincent was a common name in the Van Gogh family, but it's still fucking weird. Like, of why couldn't
to be named after a dead name? Sibling?
Or of like the one right after, maybe save that for the sixth one and just be like, oh, that's so far away. Like, that's so long ago. But like, right after, okay. I guess just like redo. That's gonna feel weird for for the child.
Like, how can we create the most trauma for our baby
right away? Right away. Let's make sure he knows that he was supposed to be another guy altogether.
My God.
That died. Jesus. And now you have to take on his and your legacy
and be worried about dying all the time.
Yeah. Jesus. And just, it's just like a kind of bad omen, you guys. If the first one dies, maybe like get a new
it's like
one.
Not a good look name. But maybe we're missing something.
I don't know. Maybe, yeah, if it. You did that
if you know why, okay.
let us know.
We're open to learning.
Now that we have some context, let's get into some tea. So, yes. Growing up, Vincent was said to be a smart and serious little child.
Okay.
So, apparently, in the village school, parents and teachers noticed that he was being too rough playing with his classmates. So, they started homeschooling all the kids through a governess, basically like a homeschool teacher.
Sure.
And then they sent him to a fancy boarding school, and he, of course, like, begged to come home. But no,
right.
All kids must go the fuck away.
Why in this time?
I can't blame her, though. Six kids. Like, get the fuck out of here, man. It's too much.
It's a lot of kids.
However, he did do very well in school, but he was abruptly sent home from boarding school because of a cholera outbreak. Yes. After school, Van Gogh's uncle got him a job at his gallery, Gopel and Company, in Hague, along with his younger brother, Theo, who worked at a different branch. Mm-hmm. So this was probably the most prosperous time in his life. He loved being around the art, and he actually made some bank during this time. And this gallery was actually a big deal in the French art market, and they had several branches all over Europe and even in New York and even in Australia.
Damn, it's like the Kincaid of the
19th
century.
It is kind of giving that vibe of like, oh, this is just the gallery. This is the guy.
This is
the guy you go to for art. Cool.
Yeah.
So he also fell in love with the landlord's daughter at the gallery, Eugenie, but she was engaged.
Oh.
So there is going to be a theme of him going after women that are very unavailable during this time. However, he was doing so well working at the gallery in Hague that Van Gogh's uncle transferred him to his more prestigious branch in London. But he didn't really like the vibe there. So, you know, when you work in retail or like hospitality or whatever, and you get transferred for a raise or something, and it's totally not worth it because the vibes are off.
Yeah.
And you don't like have your people that you used to like, ugh, I totally feel them.
I don't like this anymore.
I don't like this vibe. This is a different culture. Like, okay. The normal bitches that I talk to aren't here. And I don't know if any of y'all are cool. It's that vibe. Yeah. So Vinny wanted a change, so he moved to the Paris branch of the gallery in 1875. Mm-hmm. And again, the vibes are just not right. And now he's like disillusioned at this point with being an art dealer, and started immersing himself in his faith and like obsessively reading the Bible, like obsessively reading the Bible. So. And but this is so me, right? Not the Bible thing, but being obviously, but being disillusioned. It's so me right now, and possibly many of you. There's a big cosmic shift happening right now with this eclipse energy, and some of you might be feeling the same way. I literally just put my 2 weeks notice in a couple days ago. And it's so weird because teaching art has been, a lot of you guys probably know that I'm an art teacher, and teaching art has been a passion of mine for years. And because my administration is greedy and money hungry and don't give two shits about the well-being of their employees, I had to fucking go. So yeah, I'm disillusioned too. So this, we're going to get it. We're going to get out there and get it, you guys. We're going to get something else.
You guys, we got this.
We got this.
We'll figure it out.
If you're feeling like you're just like, let's just fucking quit. Like, I support you. Like, you don't deserve that. I mean, like, no. I mean, I get like your circumstances could be different, but fucking do it, dude. You're so much better than that fucking job. This is your sign. Fucking go for it.
You are.
You're so much better. Yeah. Anyway.
YOLO.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking YOLO, dude.
Is YOLO out? Because I've said it twice this episode already.
I feel I like it.
Maybe I'm just like in the YOLO vibes right now.
Yeah, because you do. I mean, if you're a Buddhist, maybe you think differently. But you only live this life once. So just fucking do it. Do it. That thing that you, that side gig that you
do it with really glitter. Send us your best quitting stories. One of my friends said they quit by holding a handful of glitter and going, I quit, and throwing it all the glitter.
Oh my God, that's so good. Rage quitting is my absolute favorite. I've only rage quit a job once, and yes, it did feel fucking good. I did cry a lot after. but yeah, if you have ever rage quit a job, we want the tea. So DM us for sure. Baroque
dot B. Dot B. Dot podcast. Flying
into exams. And we will put
don't forget
in the
to
next
leave us
episode.
A 5-star review.
And we'll put it on the next episode. If it's really juicy, we'll put it on the next episode.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Tell
give us
your rage quitting.
Give us the tea. That's my favorite of like, you know what? I'm fucking better than you. And I don't need this. I don't need this paycheck right now, even though you probably do. But you don't at the same time. Figure it out. You'll figure it out. You're gonna do way better than that stupid job that's wasting your life.
Oh my God.
This is your sign.
Anyway.
After Vinny quit his job, he returned to England to work as a teacher's assistant at a school. And that didn't really work out either. So he left to pursue religious work. So he became a minister's assistant in the hopes to one day become a pastor. And he really leaned into this role, becoming even more serious and now much more pious and religious.
Oh my God.
So, even more serious anyway. He was pretty fucking serious. So, but of course, the parents are thrilled with this career change because, remember, Dad's a pastor. So,
Dad is kind of like,
even though they had a weird relationship and not really a loving relationship, Dad is finally kind of feeling proud of him. So they sent him to live and study with his uncle, Johannes Stricker, who was a respected theologian in Amsterdam, in hopes for him to be accepted into the University of Amsterdam for theology. So that could have been just a little bit higher than Vinny's reach at this point. So, yeah, he didn't because he kept failing the entrance exam. So, so if I can't be a big fancy theologian and pastor, maybe I can just be a missionary, right?
Okay.
Dude, these career change things are so fucking relatable right now. but this big weird transitions and seemingly failures are the things that push him into art. So even though everything seems really fucked, everything is actually kind of going to plan in a weird fucked up way.
Right.
So now he's leaning into this charitable missionary type personality. And he's supporting the homeless, giving up his own lodgings to a homeless person, forcing him to live in a small hut where he slept on straw. And of course, the Christians and the churches fucking hate this. Yes. Oh,
right.
They hate it when you get all WWJD on their ass. Yeah. And they dismissed him for making them look bad.
Yeah.
Because he was.
Then they're like, we're doing God's work. We obviously need to like live like royalty.
Yeah, we need you to go because you're being too charitable and too nice to the homeless. So, fucking you guys. So, with no job and no lodgings, he was forced to return home to the rents. And this is really where his parents kind of start to notice some mental anguish happening.
Oh, no.
So much so that Vinny's dad wanted to commit him to an asylum. Aww. So Vinny got the fuck out of there. Sorry, you don't get it. You don't get it.
I don't want a lobotomy.
No. And moved in with a minor friend, like a coal miner friend.
Okay, it was like somebody underage.
Yeah, not a minor, and a minor. And like a worker guy, and really started writing to his brother a lot, his brother Theo a lot. And a lot of this stuff we know because of his extensive letters to his brother.
Right.
And really began listening to his suggestions, thank God, of becoming an artist. So here's a good quote from Theo. He's got some fucking magical quotes here, this guy. If you hear a voice within say you cannot paint, then by all means paint, and that voice will be silenced. Art is to console those who are broken by life. Like, Theo.
Dropping bars.
Seriously, this guy. Theo. I don't know where this guy comes from. So Theo coming in for the win. He fucking gets it. And with the encouragement of Theo on his side, Vincent registers for art school in Brussels. He studied the classics and anatomy, and he was provided a warm studio to endure the harsh winter. But he left soon after because he didn't like the restraints for artistic freedom. So he was not into the whole, like, master the rules before you break them
rules? Concept. I don't like these rules.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't like them either.
Yeah. You don't have to do all of that to be a great artist.
Right.
I think it looks good on paper that you have formal training, but unless you're really into the idea of creating realistic illusions, if you're not into the idea, then fucking just do your own thing.
Just splatter
paint on the canvas. You can deal with it.
Yeah.
So Arvini was mostly self-taught artist. But with this introduction of art school, it's like he kind of became disillusioned with art all over again. But it was Theo that kept pushing him to create whatever the fuck he wants. So another solid Theo quote. Normality is a paved road. It's comfortable to walk, but no flowers grow on it. It's like, so what is the fuck did these profound?
What the fuck, Theo? You should have been a writer.
Stop it, Theo.
That needs to be on a canvas in Home Goods somewhere.
I'm sure it is. There are a lot of. I did see a lot of these quotes on like a cloud background kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
Beautiful. Okay. Okay, so get ready for some tea. So Vinny has to move back to the rent's house again. And now he's really getting into art hardcore, like drawing his hometown, his neighbors, drawing everything.
Sure.
And his cousin Cornelia, nicknamed Key, decides to come and visit the Van Gogh family. Y'all know where this is going. So Key was recently widowed and was in mourning. And she also is all kind of freaked out because she has an 8-year-old son. So she's coming to the family to get, you know, support, to grieve, and to kind of like figure her shit out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vinny fell in love with the very emotionally and genetically unavailable Key and asked her to marry him, to which she replied, no, nay, never.
Oh, damn.
Aww. But unfortunately, he's not really taking no for an answer.
Oh, no.
Yep. And he became persistent. She said, fucking no, dude. She said no.
No. So, as in the words of Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, no is a full sentence.
Ooh. Oh, I like that. They're prolific too. No is a full sentence. Yeah. So Key told her parents, and her dad wrote to him saying that his persistence is disgusting, which it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm guessing he didn't take that well.
He did not take that well. So here's a disclaimer. There is some self-harm coming up here and throughout the rest of Vincent's life. So avoid the rest of the episode if that's triggering for you. Okay. Yeah. Disclaimer over. Let's get into it.
Okay.
So in front of Key's father, probably in the midst of arguing about Key's hand in marriage, Vinny held his hand in a flame of a lamp and said, "Let me see here for as long as I can keep my hand in the flame." So later, the flame being blown out probably by his uncle to avoid further injury. But yeah, so this atypical behavior being shown.
Yeah,
here.
So this is some like very intense.
Yeah, he's hurting himself. To make a point, I think, to kind of calm some anguish down, possibly. So we can't get into Vinny's mind.
He's just a very intense dude.
He is. Yeah. And there's a lot of diagnostic theories that have been argued about for decades. And there's no actual consensus yet. All they can really see is his art, his letters, and any kind of witnesses, any of that stuff. So there's a little breakdown here from some scientists and psychologists. So here's some symptoms that Vinny was likely to have experienced: hallucinations, nightmares, insomnia, anxiety, depression, memory problems, low self-esteem, and acts of self-mutilation. So foreshadowing. y'all know what's coming up. So these symptoms align with disorders like bipolar disorder, borderline personality disorder, substance abuse disorder, and non-suicidal self-injury disorder. So our poor Vinny could have suffered from one, many, or all of these disorders. So there's actually an unofficial term that psychologists sometimes use called Van Gogh syndrome, a term to describe someone who repeatedly self-harms. And that's very much like an unofficial term. That's not a real syndrome, but it can kind of help describe somebody that might be going through some stuff.
Yeah.
So he's going through a lot during a time where there was very little understanding and study of or treatment of these disorders. So of course, all this suffering got poured into his work, and he started to study under his cousin Anton Mauve, who was a successful artist at the time. So Mauve taught him how to paint in oils and watercolor, but this relationship was short-lived, possibly over Vinny's need to draw and paint from everyday life and not fucking plaster casts.
A little bit of lag, a little bit of projection there.
And their relationship really ended when Mauve found out that Vinny was chilling with a pregnant prostitute named Cien Hornick. So, Cien. Yeah, there's a lot of like, stop falling in love with unavailable people.
Yeah.
Cien was Vinny's muse and lover and possibly mother of his son, but that's not confirmed. Vinny produced a whole series of works depicting Cien, so you can finally check out some works. To check out Sorrow by Vincent van Gogh. So that is Cien. It's probably one of the saddest drawings in the world. So it's really fucking sad. It's obviously kind of a depiction of what she might have been going through, because she had a horrific life. Cien lived in poverty and worked as a seamstress and prostitute, and had to rely on assistance from public soup kitchens. Yeah, it was really rough. And Vinny wanted to take care of her and cared for her daughter from a previous relationship. He wasn't sure if he loved her or if they just had a mutual understanding and kinship, because he did pose for her often. So not all of the paintings of Cien are sad. A lot of them are actually of her with her kids. So kind of as a still kind of sad mom.
They're like trauma bonding. They're like, totally. everything sucks. Fuck this shit.
At least we can and be you together. Get
it. Yeah. And like, let's just hang out because you get it. You get and like it. Nobody else gets it.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, you can have love and still get it.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And of course, Vinny's family fucking hated all of this.
Well, yeah.
Here's a quote from a letter to Theo. People suspect me of something. Is it in the air? I must be hiding something. Vincent is keeping something back and may not be divulged. Well, gentlemen, I'll tell you. So provided is the real thing that is more cultured, more sensitive, more manly to forsake a woman or to take on a forsaken one. So,
damn, that's exposing. A bar too.
Yeah,
they like, listen.
All these letters were fucking beautiful. So,
thoughtful.
Totally. So as soon as dad found out about a possible love child with CN, he begged Vinny to leave her and abandon his child. Yeah, pastor energy right there. Yeah, we love it. We love that.
We love an unborn child until it's born.
However, in 1883, Vinny did leave CN, and later on, she would drown herself in a lake.
Oh, my God.
That's horrible. Girl.
So then what happens to the kid?
I don't know what happened to her kids. I think they were left with, she did remarry, so I think her kids were left with the husband's family. But a little bit, yeah, she drowned herself a little bit later on. But
she actually
prophesized it too. She prophesized it when she was with Vincent. That she
predicted her own
she
death.
She predicted that she was going to drown in a lake, and she did. She like drowned herself in a lake because she was obviously had a shit ton of trauma.
That's so horrible.
Yeah, I think her kids went to her husband's side or the government. I'm not really sure. But Vinny did a lot of moving around at this point, settling in at Newnan, where he fervently focused on art making, his first major work, The Potato Eaters, out of a series of peasant character studies.
That's so good.
Now, there is a lot on this painting, but in short, we can see that he's almost glorifying people in poverty in a way. Mm-hmm. Even though it's very dark and eerie, they're a family together in suffering. And with his deteriorating relationship with his family, maybe Vinny longs for this. So it's another kind of like riches to rags story, I think, with Van Gogh. Yeah. And he comes from a prominent family that are always still trying to help him out. Like, they're helping him move to these places. Like, a lot of it comes from at some point, mom and dad were like, listen, we're not going to pay for shit anymore. And Theo just takes on a lot of it, knowing that, listen, like, I think this guy's onto something when it comes to his artwork. And I do want to just take care of him. Right. So they loved each other. But and Theo knows that there's something going on with his mental state.
That he needs support.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. Even now, there's like no real societal support for people with disorders like this and disabilities like this. It's so difficult that we don't. Still in the dark. I mean, and there's treatments and there's, you know, certain stuff. But like in an emergency situation, trying to like contact an appropriate type party to help people in these. It's so difficult. I feel so hard for his brother.
Yeah, especially, I mean, we're coming from America too. So there is, and in his time, there was actually a lot of like free hospitals and things like that, that he could get like emergency support. But here it's
they
like,
don't know
damn.
Like what's going on.
Yeah, they don't know what's going on.
Like, well, we can like zap you with this electric chair or something like that. Or we can like, you know, cut out part of your brain or something like that.
But yeah, I mean, even here, it's just like, I'd love to talk to a therapist, but I don't have any money for that stuff. My insurance doesn't cover insurance.
Why would, why would we cover that?
Seriously. Yeah. Ew. So Now, the argument, is this impressionism? Well, not the usual kind of impressionism that we're used to. The style of impressionism that was now popular at this time are the works of Monet, Renoir, Pissarro, something like nice,
peaceful, more gestural,
like very colorful. And so Theo was still working for his uncle's gallery and selling in Paris. Theo exhibited Vincent's work in his gallery, but had a really hard time selling them because of the more popular impressionists had a much more saturated color palette. And people liked that.
This is light and fluffy, and this is like, dark and dirty.
Ugh, I don't like this dark stuff.
Yeah.
And people really loved color. He's like
the Hot Topic section of the gallery.
Seriously. Like, oh, this is kind of dark. I like it, but I don't want it in my house. So now, as he's painting these peasants, he was accused of assaulting a peasant woman named Gordina and getting her pregnant. So check out Head of a Woman, Gordina de Groot. And she was also featured in The Potato Eaters as well. So he painted her several times. So this all seems bad, but here's the tea. Now, whether Vincent did assault this woman or not, we don't really know. The woman herself didn't say anything. Gordina didn't say anything like that. However, Vincent was being accused by the priest's congregation, and this might have been some projecting going on. So it could have been there. He's been used as a scapegoat for some dirty ass priests.
Right, to make it like, okay.
Like, oh no, that weird artist guy that you hang out with, that's the one that did that to you. So there is a quote from Vinny about this situation. Uh-huh. A girl I'd often painted was having a child and they thought it was mine, although it wasn't me. Knowing the facts of the matter from the girl herself, the man was a member of the priest's congregation.
Plot thickens.
So I think some corrupt priests were using Vincent as this weird artist guy. No, it's the weird artist guy that you pose for.
I am a man of the Lord.
So I actually don't think I think that's just
obviously scandal.
So we got to get the fuck out of here and move to Antwerp. That's okay. Rembrandt and Rubens territory and their work. Yeah. And and a new style was introduced to Europe, Japanese ukiyo-e woodcuts. And when I tell you he was obsessed with these, he was fucking obsessed with these. Like, dude, he bought these prints with the help of Theo's financial support to the point that Theo was actually pleading with him, like, please stop buying the prints.
No more. We gotta cut it off.
Yeah. And Vinny was like, no, I need them.
But I need them in my room.
I'm like, dude, he's going to be the most famous artist of all time. Just give me the prints. But what was so cool about these prints that has our Vinny so freaked out? So simplified color palettes, subtle illusions of depth or no illusions of depth at all, uniquely cropped compositions, graphic contours, which is a fancy word for outline, and a stylized interpretation of life and nature that differed from the classical Renaissance art that most European artists were studying.
Right.
So not only did Vinny like the style, but he was learning about Zen Buddhism as well. So Vincent really identified with like Buddhist monks. So probably because it's not far off of Protestant missionary. Charity, being humble, like not having anything. I think it is a little bit like he's trying to lean into being poor and making that a cool thing. Of like Buddhist monks do it. Buddhist monks are poor and they beg. And that's fine. Of like, okay, but that's okay. It's fine. So as Vinny's artistic style is evolving, his health is deteriorating.
Uh-oh.
because of his fervent spending on art and art supplies, he's not spending any money on food.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So when Theo did send him, he sent him a little allowance to make sure that he's taken care of. And he would just, Vincent would just spend money on these prints and art supplies and paints and stuff.
Damn.
And his diet.
Can't paint if you're dead, dude.
Yeah. His diet was bread, tobacco, and booze.
Damn.
So, yeah, so he would spend money on tobacco and booze, I guess. So after receiving treatment for, you guessed it, syphilis,
yeah,
he moved to Paris to stay with his brother Theo. So,
right.
Yeah, even though Theo supported Vincent from afar, he was pretty reluctant to have him actually stay with him.
Yeah, it's heavy.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It's a lot to take care of. Yeah. And Vincent just kind of showed up. So he just pretty much was like, I'm here. I'm here.
Hi. So nice to see me.
No. So Theo, of course, took him in and introduced him to a circle of artists under the guidance of Fernand Corman, whom a lot of avant-garde artists at the time admired. So he met Emile Bernard, Toulouse-Lautrec, and Gauguin.
Bro love, bro love.
Now, Lautrec and Vinny actually had a great friendship. You can check out Toulouse-Lautrec's portrait of Vincent van Gogh. It's just a great chalk pastel portrait of Vinny in deep thought, observing the world around him. So yeah, a lot of these guys did lots of portraits of each other.
So they were models. It's nice.
Yeah, and I love chalk
it's
pastel.
It's nice. Yeah. Yeah, a little pastel.
Yeah.
This could be on like, you know, the cover of a tin of fucking like pastels.
Yeah, yeah, pastels for
sure. Cookies. Yeah.
Degas not the only one that does pastels. Fucking ballerinas.
Nice. Little rainbowy.
Yeah. And he's still fucking obsessed with Japan and was happy that Theo and other impressionists and avant-garde artists love Japan art.
They're like,
Japanese
you get
art
it.
As well. Yeah,
they
they're all anime kids. So you can also check out Courtesan after Aisen, where he's duplicating a Keisai Aisen print, but with oil paint. So it looks like a Japanese print.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And it's a little appropriation-y, but...
It is, yeah. It's an appropriation, studying. But he's duplicating it with the Impressionist style. So instead of doing a block print, he's doing it with oil paint. So differing from how the Japanese artists are using. And I think it's a little... I let this fly with the appropriation of the Japanese work because... Vincent was also very much engaged with their culture and wanted to learn a lot more about Japanese culture as well. And was
it's more of a study than it is like, hey, let me take this. Me it's more because Gauguin was like, let me take your shit and sell it.
Yeah.
And be like, create this false narrative of like what exotic is or whatever.
Exactly. And he was more, even though he was more just like inspired by their work, and it is exotic, it is new and new to the French. Of course, the Japanese have been doing this forever,
right?
So not new to them, but he was also inspired by the Japanese landscape, Japanese culture. He loved Buddhism. He was trying to figure them out as the best as he could.
Right. He's just trying to study and appreciate.
Yes. And he had these block prints all over his walls. Like he totally fangirled
over
these
guys. Yeah, he definitely
guys.
Seems like the type of guy who learns one thing about, you know, like your friend you introduce to something you like a band or something, and then it all of a sudden becomes their entire personality.
Totally.
They're like, oh my God, did you know that? Blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, and they start telling you weird facts about it, and you're like, dude, I'm the one who fucking showed it to you.
I did that for you. I showed you this bitch. Oh my God. But, with all these new friends, Vinny alongside Bernard and Quentin and Lautrec produced an exhibition in a restaurant in Paris. And it was actually kind of a big deal. And even Camille Pissarro, who was one of the biggest stars of Impressionism, right, did come. And Bernard and Quentin sold their first paintings while Van Gogh traded with Gauguin. really sealing the deal on this friendship. So even though Van Gogh was thriving artistically, things start getting annoying, and Theo couldn't handle living with him anymore. He said that he noticed two sides of his brother, one that is gentle and has a lust for life, and another that is selfish and unfeeling. So that kind of goes towards the multiple personality disorder possibility of and he did also possibly have epilepsy as well, because a lot times he would kind of forget when he had these kind of emotional outbursts. He would be like, what's wrong? What happened? And he's like, you just told me to fuck off. He's like, did I? Oh, my God. I'm sorry. So, it must be so confusing.
Yeah, it's tough.
And Vincent was growing weary of Paris anyway, so he needs to get the fuck out of the city and back into nature, because he loved nature. He really saw God in nature, too. And so some more fucking tea on why he left Paris. And I have to give credit to art historian Bernadette Murphy, who spent years studying Van Gogh and developed new theories on him. So, according to Murphy, Vinny just didn't go to Arles willy-nilly because it sounds nice. He was following a girl.
Oh, damn.
So, Gabrielle Berletier was a farmer's daughter and a maid at a popular brothel. So, she was not a prostitute. Who got bit by a dog. Back then, rabies infection was common. So, so they actually did have a cure for rabies, but she had to go to Paris to receive treatment. And guess who sees her chilling in Paris?
Damn, he's like, girl, hi. You look good with that dog bite.
You look good with that rabies.
You look good with that rabies.
What's your secret, rabies? So he asked around about this new chick. He's like, who the fuck is that?
He's the bitch with the rabies.
He's the bitch with the rabies infection. I like her. And he got the info and that she's only in Paris to receive treatment, and then she'll go back to Arles where she lives. Well, Arles happens to be hella fucking nice. And Vinny was like, okay, Gauguin, let's set up an artist colony in Arles and get the fuck out of the city. And Gauguin was like, okay, let's do it. There's probably a lot of young, naive girls there. So off they go to Arles to build an artist community from the famous Yellow House. So Vinny was super productive at this time and loved painting the landscape and the people of Arles. And this is where the most famous paintings from Van Gogh came out of. Some of the most famous paintings. There are 2,000 works from this dude. So I can't touch on every So if your favorites aren't on this, I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm talking to you, Getty, and your fucking iris freaks.
we have the irises. The Getty is just, we have the irises. Everybody, we have all of them. We have the irises. We have the irises. I'm like, Getty, I know you have them. Settle down.
Anyway, the irises are great. It's fine. This is where he paints the cafe terrace at night, the one that was in my dorm room. And I've actually been privileged enough to visit this cafe in Arles. It's a super cute fucking town, you guys. It's literally like people riding in bikes with their baguettes in the basket. Like the whole thing. Literally. So
the
cute.
Beret, the striped shirts.
France, stop being so cute. The cafe itself has been painted yellow. To make it look like the painting. It didn't used to be yellow, but Vinny really wanted to show the light of the cafe using bright yellow. But they painted it yellow to make it look. It's cute. It's fun.
Yeah, it's good espresso. Cute. It's fun.
But not everything was lovely art. And yes, two prolific artists together in harmony. No, absolutely not. They were roommates. Oh my God, they were roommates. And they had shitty roommate fights about food and messiness and making noise and all the roommate stuff. I have some gnarly roommate stories. If you have a solid roommate story that we'd like to share.
Oh, my God.
Okay, here's your – here. Okay, guys, we need to hear roommate stories, shitty fucked up roommate stories, and shitty fucked up quitting your job, rage quitting your job story. Yeah. That's what we need. We'd love
But right now we're going to tell a story about art school. But I think we should save it for Patreon. What do you think?
Let's save it for the Patreon.
Okay.
Oh, hello there, you beautiful creature. Looks like you can't get enough of the Baroque Bitches Art History Gossip Podcast. Do you want more juicy tea? Join our Patreon for exclusive access to bonus episodes, behind-the-scenes content, exclusive voting power, digital downloads, fun merch, and more. Become one of us. One of us. By going to patreon.com/BaroqueBPodcast or clicking the link on our website, BaroqueBPodcast.com or clicking the link on our Instagram at Baroque.B.Podcast. Thank you for your support. We couldn't do any of this stuff without you. We love you. Links in our bio.
Oh my God, links in my bio. Okay.
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 Here we go. We're finally getting to the tea on what fucking happened to Vinny's ear.
What happened?
Some think that he cut it off during a violent fight with Gauguin. Some think that it was an act of jealousy because he was just informed of his brother's marriage. And of course, he is very unlucky in love, so he might have been a little jealous. There's a lot of theories, but I'll mainly be referring to Murphy's theory because it makes most sense to me. So in Arles, the culture is less French and more Spanish influence. Bullfighting was very popular at the time in this region, and Vincent loved to watch the bullfights and glorified the matadors. So you can check out the arena at Arles, and it's just all the hustle and bustle in the community. Everybody's into it in Arles. Like, everybody's into bullfighting. So what does this have to do with ears, though? So if you aren't familiar with bullfighting, oftentimes when the matador defeats the bull, he'll chop off an ear and give it to a pretty lady in the crowd. I know, it's cruel, but different cultures, different sensibilities, y'all get with it. So could our Vinny have gotten inspired by these bullfights to completely chop off his ear during a psychotic episode and give it to Gabrielle? Because that's what he did. And no, it wasn't just the lobe. It was his whole ass ear, confirmed by Murphy's extensive research on the subject. Murphy actually found a drawing done by Vinny's doctors confirming the whole thing is gone.
The whole thing, except the little tiny nub.
There's like a tiny sliver.
Of the lobe.
Yeah, it's a sliver of the lobe.
Little dingleberry lobe.
Yeah, and apparently there were several infections that needed treatment. So he was bandaged up for a little while.
Like gnarly.
Yes. Yeah, it was really, really. It was the whole ear. And then back in the day when you got a paper cut, you could die, you know. Ugh.
Yeah, it's like
gangrenous stuff happening. Gangrenous. Yeah, they're not really like treating it. I mean, they're treating it, but then they're, you know.
They're like, just rub some dirt in it and pray.
Yeah, pray. So he definitely got rejected by Miss Gabby. Apparently she fainted.
She didn't like the ear.
She didn't like the ear. We don't know what happened to the ear. So if you happen to have a severed ear hanging out in your basement somewhere, like let us know.
Little crumpled up ear.
Little piece of beef jerky somewhere. Let us know. We'll take care of it.
We'll figure it out for you.
Get it in the right hands. Take it off your hands.
Yeah. We'll give you 10% cut.
It's probably worth so much fucking money. I really hope just didn't throw it away. He also got rejected by Gauguin, who quickly got a train ticket back to Paris after this
episode. Let me get the fuck out of here right now.
What the fuck? Bye. Yeah, he's nope.
Bye.
Nope. Yeah, there's definitely some mental anguish that made itself fucking known from this incident. And other than Vinny's mental disorders, a horrible diet, heavy drinking, syphilis, and a keen taste for lead-based paint did not help much. Yeah, supposedly our Vinny liked to use his spit as a medium in his paintings, and toxic chemicals like lead and cadmium are used in these paints. So
It's just not good for the brain chemistry.
Wear gloves, y'all. Wear gloves when you're painting. I don't even care if it's just acrylic. Wear gloves. Open a window.
Open a window, for sure.
Open a window.
All right. So after this episode, he did paint himself quite a few times with bandages over the ear. You've seen these. You can check out self-portrait with a bandaged ear, but I'm sure you've seen these.
Oh, yes.
So soon after the ear episode, the townspeople petitioned to have him institutionalized.
Yeah.
But since Arvini has small windows of clarity, he actually voluntarily admitted himself into the St. Paul Monastery and Hospital.
I've been to it. It's crazy.
It's like surrounded by the olive trees that he painted. It's dope. But it wasn't so good at the time. So Vincent created 150 paintings during this year in the hospital. On his mentally stable days, he was actually allowed to paint outside. But bad days, he had restrictions on painting when he actually did eat some of his paint. So we're not sure if he was eating paint just out of confusion. Or if he was eating paint to try to poison himself. A lot of people are saying he was trying to poison himself, but I don't know. I think he was confused at this point. Yeah. He painted his iconic masterpiece, Starry Night. You can look it up if you want, but you know what it looks like.
I know. It's like permanently in the brain. Yeah, I love it's in that the brain. Painting.
You're probably looking at your mug right now with Starry Night on while he was in the hospital. So you know what that looks like. The only thing missing from the painting was the bars on the hospital windows. Yeah. He wasn't allowed to paint outside at night. So he's looking out his window, and at that point, there were bars on the windows. So the swirling brushstrokes around the stars could have been an artistic interpretation of the night sky, or it could have been how he was actually seeing these things with his state of mental health, on top of a slew of other bodily harm shit that he was doing, not eating right and drinking too much and eating paint and all that stuff. Syphilis does some stuff.
Syphilis, yeah.
Syphilis. We all know what that does now, guys.
Go back and listen to Egon Schiele if you haven't. Yes. That episode gets into the syphilis.
It's into the syphilis. Many do think that his time at the hospital was nice because the paintings he painted were really nice nature scenes. Mm-hmm. But no, it's a fucking asylum. It's not fucking nice. And from the accounts of other patients there, there were anguished screams from patients all night long. And Vinny actually wrote, "The prison is crushing me."
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's not a nice place. It is now. It's beautiful now. It's gorgeous. Well, but of course.
You got to make it look good.
Got to make it look good. But, of course, there was really mentally unstable people there. And a lot of elderly people that didn't have homes that were just treated really poorly. So
yeah, just mistreatment.
Yeah. It's bad. It's not good. So after the year in the asylum, he was cured. Okay, he traveled to northern France and got a room in Auvers and continued painting. And on July 29th, 1890, Van Gogh died from a gunshot wound to his stomach in his room. This is not the end. Many art historians believe he shot himself while painting with no suicide note, even though he was an avid letter writer, in the gut. Okay, crawling his way back to his room with an agonizing 30 hours of pain before death with no weapon in sight. Sounds like suicide for sure. Yeah, suicide. Just killed himself. Crazy. On his deathbed, the police asked, "Did you intend to kill yourself?" With a confused, "I think so."
Wait, so are you implying that he was murdered? Yes, or no? Oh my God.
Probably murdered. Many want to think that the idea of murder is ridiculous. He was self-harming and in a psychotic state. Of course he killed yourself. So here's the real tea. So apparently there were all these young farmer boys that would hang around this town, this new town that he was in, and bully our poor Vinny for being a weird artist painter guy. Vinny was said to be gentle and soft-spoken during this time. He was kind of like in a reflective state, I think.
Sure.
And would just take on the bullies, fucking throwing rocks at him and shit. You know, just kids being assholes. Guns are not widely available in northern France at the time or any time. Right. And with the exception of farmers. So, yeah, these shitty boys were the few who would have access to guns. And there were actually accounts of witnesses that actually seen the boys violently picking on Vincent. So this was a known thing that these guys are dicks.
Oh my God.
And they're throwing rocks and beating up Vincent as it's he's just going around town.
It's like just one of those things where like you get a bunch of like shitty dudes together with the wrong concoction of bad ideas and testosterone and hatred for things that they don't understand. Yes. And fucking this happens.
And then this shit happens. So it is thought that during a bullying session, the boys either tried to scare Vincent with a gun and possibly accidentally shot him, or they were really evil assholes and purposely shot him in the gut to kill him.
Probably a little bit of both.
Those are theories. You decide what you want. Either way, he died, his last words being, "The sadness will last forever," leaving behind 2,000 paintings, drawings, and prints. Oh my God. His funeral was attended by Theo, along with other huge names in art, and less than a year later, Theo succumbed to his syphilis symptoms and died being buried next to his beloved brother.
Aww.
Yeah. Van Gogh only sold one painting in his lifetime, but now his work is worth tens to hundreds of millions of dollars and is exhibited all over the world and has found its way into college dorms everywhere. He is one of the most influential artists of all time. And it's hard to compare him with somebody today, but if he was the guy at the party, this will seem weird. Courtney Love.
Okay, yeah.
Yes. Courtney Love's extensive work has been overshadowed by her atypical behavior. She dealt with addiction and grief, even more because she's accused of actually murdering her then-husband, Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
So weird murder theories surround her still after all this time.
Yeah.
And yes, she's got some crazy moments, but she's extremely intellectual and has inspired tons of female musicians to be them fucking selves. Bitch. Yeah, bitch. Who gives a shit? The people like it.
Don't make me over. I'm all I want to be.
I thought that was a good one because there's a lot of theories with the Kurt Cobain stuff. Yeah,
no, there's so many theories. And honestly, he could be a little bit of Kurt and Courtney because that's Kurt Cobain.
Misunderstood artist,
very serious.
Ahead of his time. Didn't understand.
Not really trying to be understood by anybody.
Exactly. Yeah. And weird murdery suicide. I'm pretty sure. I say he left actual notes. So.
At least
he left a note. Vincent did not leave a note, and you know that he'd be writing notes. So that's always been weird to me of like, first of all, okay, he shot himself in the gut. All right. That could have happened. He chopped his ear off. I got it. That could have totally happened. But where the fuck is he getting a gun? Where's the weapon?
No, never been found. This was murder.
It sounds like a lot of historians are like, this is ridiculous. It's not murder. He was a tortured man. And you're like, well, I mean, yes.
It's just trying to put him in a box.
Totally. Like, I don't think so. Either. And there's these boys there's witnesses that these boys were being violent towards him.
Yeah.
Only people that would have access to guns. Vincent didn't have access to a gun. He was never interested in having a gun.
Listen, this mystery is solved. Fucking closed. We solved it.
Yes, right? But I think it all just kind of got swept under the rug because it's like, he's just a crazy guy. Who cares?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's the most important artist of all time. Like, fucking figure it out, dude.
That's so wild. Dude, good one.
Vincent Van Gogh. Yeah, of course. didn't cover everything. He's got a fuck ton of paintings, y'all. But this the cool is thing a is light that
dive this into is
the,
your
the cool thing yeah. that like you guys probably already know what they look like.
Yeah, you don't. You've I mean, seen come on.
You've seen the sunflowers. You got it.
But now you know about the dude, the dude, you know behind the ear,
behind
the dude attached to the ear.
Yeah, that is there was missing. Some kind of like when I was researching, there was some kind of like a museum that like recreated his ear.
Oh God!
And it's like.
Nobody what? Asked you to do
Nobody
that.
Nobody wants why? That. Like, okay. Why did you do that? His ear?
I will say the Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam is my favorite museum that I've ever been to because it's so well curated.
Awesome.
And you don't have to re-walk through anything to get into the other room.
Linear?
Blows my mind. Why? No, it's like in a almost a
like
spiral.
A circle. Okay.
Like you can not like it's just it blows my mind how museums haven't figured that out yet. Like, how do I not have to see everything I already just saw? We need
just
to be
guide
more
me
efficient.
Through it. Yeah, guide make me it more user it. Friendly.
Tell the story. Oh my
totally.
God!
Oh my gosh!
Well, we have stickers.
We have stickers. Check out our website. What else? All the things. Patreon. Baroque.podcast
is our Instagram handle.
All the links
with has links. Thank you to our latest patrons. Thank you for our worldwide listeners.
Dude, that's
and if you want to help support us, go on Patreon, be a patron.
Yeah.
Tell your friends.
Yeah.
Leave a five star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
We're talking to you, two star. We're talking to you, two star.
And if all that's too tough, don't worry about it. Just keep listening. Yeah.
We don't care if you do all that stuff. It's fine. It's fine.
We get it. You're busy.
You're busy.
But just know at the end of the day,
we love you. Bye.
This evening, when I heard music echo through the night, the same old songs that I heard the night before. So I started running so I wouldn't be too late. I didn't think that I would ever see your face again, but I was wrong. Yeah, I was wrong. Was jumping.